So the frame of reference filter, that's going to be important in terms of coaching, in terms of offering somebody feedback along the way. There's certain people, like as you look at each one of these complex meta programs, there's certain people that would be better in certain positions than others. Somebody, you wouldn't want somebody that had an external frame of reference. Somebody that had an external frame of reference in charge of something where they got no feedback from the people around them. Right? Whereas, like let's say you had a hairdresser with an internal frame of reference. You might end up with a lot of dissatisfied clients, right? That looks great. Get out of here. You know? It's like, yeah. The client says, well, I don't like it. No, it looks good. Thanks. Thanks for coming. Tell all your friends. Okay, number four, convincer representational filter. Or how about a cook with an internal frame of reference? it tastes good to me. Yeah, that would be. Now, the cook with the external frame of reference, maybe an internal frame of reference with an external check that would be walking around the tables and checking how do you enjoy it. That person is going to, you know. So you'd want to be sure who, in terms of hiring, and also you got to look at, okay, what's going to be best suited for this particular position. Yeah. Number four, convincer representational filter. How do you know when someone else is good at what they do? Some people have to see it. So they don't know somebody's good at what they do until they've actually seen it with their own eyes. Some people have to hear it. Somebody tells them, hey, this person's great at what they do, and then they know that the person's good. Some people need to read about it. And some people need to actually do it with them in order to know that they're good at what they do. Everybody's going to be different. Do you have something, Connie? Oh, okay. Yeah. And what you want to do is you want to force an answer. Not physically with brute force, but I could just see Donna. Answer now. But you want to, you do want them. So how do you know when someone is good at what they do? You say, would it be? Do you need to? Actually, I'm sorry. You're not going to propose all those answers to them. What you're going to do is you're going to listen for the answer. So I misstated that. So you say, how do you know if somebody's good at what they do? And somebody's going to respond, and you're going to just listen, and you're going to notice which representational system they talk about. They say, well, I read about it. If I've read a couple of articles about them, and then I realize that they're good at what they do. Well, say, I've actually got to do it with them, and once I'm doing it with them. So you're just going to listen to their language, and if you hear a couple, yes, you could circle both responses. See and hear, or see and read, or see and do. I misstated that at front. First. Let's see. Number five, convincer demonstration filter. By the way, if you were hiring somebody, you might, and if you didn't have a lot of time to actually do whatever position you were hiring them for, you might not want to take somebody that needs to do it with that person in order to learn that as well. You know, I know we're talking about how do you know when someone else is good at what they do, but they also, that person will tend to also need to learn that in that way as well. Number five, convincer demonstration filter. How does someone have to demonstrate competency to you before you're convinced? So notice that the first one was the representational filter. The second one is the demonstration filter. How often does someone have to demonstrate competency to you before you're convinced? And they say it's either going to be automatic, a number of times, a period of time, or consistent. So those are going to go hand in hand with the one above it. So maybe they need to see them do it, and they need to see them do it a number of times before they know that they're good at what they do. Or maybe they need to do it with them, and they need to do it with them consistently in order to know that they're good at what they do. That's kind of like, imagine if you had a sales manager, if you were a salesperson, and I've had sales managers like this. I've had sales managers that had a consistent convincer. You could have done a great job, made a lot of sales last week, no sales this week, and they lose all confidence in you. Right? How's that going to be for the salesperson? You could also have, in some jobs, it's important to have a consistent convincer. Like in quality control. Quality control, you want to have somebody that has a consistent convincer. It's got to be proved every time. How about the sales manager that has an automatic convincer? What could be the possible consequences of that? Sales manager that has an automatic convincer. Yeah, so that's the automatic convincer. Yeah, what is it? Now, the sales manager that has the convincer, they know someone else is good at what they do, and their convincer representational system is they need to do it with them, and they need to do it with them consistently. That sales manager is going to be with that person everywhere they go. Whereas the sales manager that just needs to see somebody do it, and they need to see them do it a number of times, they might go with them and accompany them on the sales call, see them do it a couple of times, and then they know that they're good at what they do, and they leave them alone, right? I think it depends on what type of job I was doing. I think it depends on how much how much investment I had in that job, if I loved that job, and if it was an issue for me or not. They're not doing it. Yeah, I think it depends on a number of things. A consistent convincer can also be good. Can keep you on your toes. Yeah, as long as you don't have any negative emotions about it. Can be debilitating as well. It depends on how much emotional investment you have in it. It also depends on your frame of reference. Do you have an internal or an external frame of reference? Because if you've got an internal frame of reference, it doesn't really shake you. They do their thing, and yeah. Yeah. Here's how I look at metaprograms. I look at metaprograms as cross-contextual unless I don't. What I mean by that, and I know that sounds kind of flippant and kind of, but what I mean by that is that I'll look at metaprograms as being cross-contextual unless I'm eliciting for a specific context. Like I know that I need to know for the context of career, I'll tend to go in there and I'll tailor my entire elicitation for the context of their career. If I'm doing a relationship consulting, I'll go in and I'll tailor my entire elicitation for the context of relationships. Oftentimes people's metaprograms will be cross-contextual, sometimes they're not. So what I'll do is if I'm doing a specific elicitation for specific reasons, I'll contextualize the elicitation so that I know that I've gotten them right on. And if I elicit them just generally, I know that I've probably got it pretty right on, and I may need to keep my mind open because I may have made some incorrect initial judgments. Yeah. Yeah. Unless they're not, then I'll jump into it specifically. And what I'll do is now, like that, what you'll find is that when we do the elicitations of metaprograms, we're going to find a lot of information out rather quickly about that individual. But I can also, once you really understand metaprograms, you can do it intuitively well as well, just watching their behavior. So just over a period of time, you go, hey, well, this person's got a consistent convincer. It's pretty obvious. So you could either go right in, jump to the chase, and find out a bunch of information about them, and then you know it, so you can communicate in the most effective way for them, present information in the most effective way for them, or you'll just notice them over time. And I've done it differently depending upon the nature of the relationship that I have with the individual. And people will tend to, I mean, it's possible that somebody has a consistent convincer, but they're noticing somebody's behaving a little bit different, so they adapt their convincer to that person, you know? Especially once they understand this. Once they know this, it gives them more flexibility in their thinking.